Hello, and welcome to the shadowy home of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries known as the Within the Mist podcast. We are your hosts, Gary and Goldie Ann. Hello, Goldie Ann.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Are you excited?
About what?
You get to be on a show with me.
Oh, yeah. So exciting.
Wow. An actress you're not. But I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, I was never said I was one.
Well, I do have an announcement I want to make. Actually, I have a bunch of them, but I'm just going to make one for right now. For our listeners who listen to the podcast on Google Podcasts, you may or may not have known that they are closing down the podcast provider off of Google as of April 2nd. So if you do listen to us on the Google app, you're going to have to switch to one of the others. So please remember, we are available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, pretty much all of them. So effective April 2nd, you won't be able to listen to us on Google.
What about iHeart? Did that get fixed?
It did finally get fixed.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We switched to a different podcast provider, and some of the actual podcast apps took a little longer to transfer everything over than others. What I find the strangest, though, about this Google one, Goldie Ann, is that the date that they're doing it is on April 2nd. I was wondering if maybe they were just worried that people would think that they're shutting down the app on April 1st would be taken as a joke.
Yeah. That would be kind of a hard deal if you thought it was a joke and realized it wasn't. Of course, it is the most fun on the internet that day.
Yeah, very much.
So many things.
You can't trust anything on April 1st.
No, but it is my son's birthday, so that's important.
But I also know another thing, Goldie Ann.
What?
And that's the Swamp's favorite type of music.
Oh, God. Really? What is it?
Hip hop.
I don't get it.
As in frogs in a swamp?
Hip hop. Okay. Tell me that one's not in your book.
It's not in my book.
Okay, thank goodness.
I have to write another book to put that one in.
Oh, God.
Now, today's episode contains encounters with a monster that roams the nights of swamps that may be frightening to some of our audience. We are storytellers, and we don't intend to scare our listeners on purpose. Well, maybe just a little.
You don't scare me.
I don't even know how to judge that.
Nothing scares me.
That's true. Listener discretion will always be advised.
I take that back. I'm scared to death of snakes.
And spiders.
Yeah, I'm getting a little better with spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little.
You're a big, tough woman.
I am.
Okay. Well, I have a story for you today, Goldie Ann.
Okay.
And it begins in the Honey Island Swamp, which is one of the most natural and untarnished habitats in the United States. It is located in the St. Tammany Parish. This marshland earned its name from the swarms of honeybees found near the surrounding areas. Just a short drive from New Orleans, Louisiana, the Honey Island Swamp spans over 70,000 acres, measuring over 20 miles long and 7 miles wide. 35,000 of those acres are governmentally sanctioned by the Pearl River Wildlife Management in order to protect the local wildlife that thrives in there. They have been untouched by human hands. It is said to be an uncorrupted, primitive as anywhere in America. And for this reason, some say it is not only possible for a creature to live in those parts and go unnoticed, but may actually be a definitive certainty. Just north of Lake Pontchartrain and on a bend of the old Pearl River, you'll find a monster described as being 7 feet tall, with long gray hair and large yellow eyes. This beast also has huge webbed feet with 3 or 4 toes that smells like putrefied trash.
Putrefied trash.
Now, I chose this because you just recently watched a show talking about it. So we're going to see if the information I provide matches up with what you already know.
Okay.
Chapter 1, The Train Wreck Origins. Suppose you ask three residents about the origins of the Honey Island Swamp Monster. In that case, you will get three totally separate and different origins. So, if you take an interest in the local lore surrounding the Honey Island Swamp Monster, you might discover a captivating tale that has been handed down by some inhabitants for years and generations. This legend has its roots in the early 1900s. It centers around a heartbreaking train accident near the area now referred to as the Honey Island Swamp. Per the tale, a traveling circus journeying along the Pearl River encountered a catastrophic accident. The locomotive that was carrying the circus performers and their animal companions was derailed.
Oh no.
Causing chaos and destruction all around. Amidst the wreckage, a bunch of chimpanzees found their ways out of the train and into the thick forest that envelops the river and vanished into the wilderness. Because the escaped primates were never recovered and are believed to have lived out their days in the deepest part of the swamps. However, some locals claim that the chimpanzees did not just disappear, but they actually evolved into something more terrifying, growing, becoming more part of the swamp, and turning into the infamous Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Was that from inbreeding?
Well, the legend suggests that these chimps were forced to adapt to their new environment in order to survive. Constant exposure to contaminated water and inbreeding over generations would have caused them to mutate into a giant monstrous creatures with the long hair, yellow eyes, and razor-sharp teeth.
Or babies.
The creature's supposed origins from escaped circus animals also explains its rumored abilities, such as mimicking human voices and using tools, traits commonly associated with trained performing animals.
Can animals pass that gene down to their kids?
It can be a taught behavior.
Huh.
And while this legend may seem like nothing more than a fanciful story like you suggest, Goldie-Anne, there have been reports of strange creatures resembling apes or monkeys living in remote areas of Louisiana swamps.
Yeah, if you're going to do a show on Louisiana, you need to learn to Louisiana.
Okay, you're the Cajun here. I'm the Midwest farm boy. So the accents are going to be way different between you and me. Some residents claim to have seen this monster roaming the swamps at night, emitting eerie howls and leaving behind tracks that resemble large human footprints. Others even attribute strange disappearances of animals and even people to this elusive creature. Could these sightings be attributed to descendants of those first escaped chimps from long ago? As with other origins you may have heard, only some people believe this particular story for the Honey Island Swamp Monster. Some will dismiss it as pure fiction invented by imaginative locals looking for attention or trying to scare the tourists who were there looking for a thrill. Others argue there is no scientific evidence to support this theory. Or is there?
Oh, or is there? Question.
Answer.
So, I have noticed that anytime we talk about anything of a bipedal hairy hominid, the starting is always a circus loses an orangutan. Are these just fake stories?
I can't prove that this circus accident happened, but if you let me finish this chapter, I do have some support that this might be a true story.
Oh.
Would it surprise you if I told you that located nearby is the Tulane National Primate Research Center? which opened in 1964 on 500 acres of land right at the edge of Honey Island Swamp. This facility houses large non-human primates. Much of their work is in studying infectious and diseases that require the use of non-human primates. So, Goldie, and you might say, well, that's just a building that has chimpanzees and monkeys in it.
Do you know how many buildings of Tulane there are? Tulane Law School, Tulane Medical Center. There's Tulane everything.
Yeah, but this is Tulane National Primate Research Center. Okay. And that affects our story because 24 rhesus monkeys did escape the facility in October of 1998 into the woods of the Honey Island Swamp. And those are only some of the most recently that were reported about.
How do these monkeys get out so often?
They're
learning how to unlock doors.
They are. We don't know what kind of experiments are being done on them.
I don't want to think about that.
Well,
I still refuse to watch Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I know. I can understand. But regardless of whether this story is true, it does add yet another layer of mystery and intrigue surrounding the creature known as the Honey Island Swamp Monster. And just like with other origins you may have heard, it leaves you wondering, could there be some truth to the legend after all? So if some primates have made it into the swamp and survived, perhaps the circus monkey's story is true as well.
True. It's just there's a circus monkey story for all of them. I mean, that's what the skunk ape is. Right? Well, he wasn't a circus. He was just a research.
Well, okay.
We've done skunk ape. Let's keep going.
Thank you. Chapter 2. A hunting trip begins a lifelong journey. In early August of 1963, Harlan Ford, a retired air traffic controller with a weathered face and piercing blue eyes, set out for the day of fishing in the swamps with his friend Billy Mills. They were seasoned hunters with two different camps along the Pearl River of the Honey Island Swamp. Together, they spent countless hours hunting amongst the cypress trees and the murky waters. But this day would be like no other. They had driven up to the lateral canal where they had to take a boat across to the deeper regions of the swamp. As they silently walked through the thick vegetation of a game trail to their camp, a sudden movement caught Harlan's eye, just as they rounded a bend. He turned to his friend Billy, who was now frozen in place, his eyes wide with shock. "What the hell was that?" Harlan whispered. Is that the Cajun way of saying it? "What the hell was that?" Harlan whispered, his heart racing. "I don't know," Billy replied.
"Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. Just talk normal."
"I don't know," Billy replied, his voice trembling, "but it ain't no animal I've ever seen before." They continued on cautiously, both men straining their eyes for another glimpse of the mysterious shadow. It wasn't long before they saw it again. This time, much closer, a mere 20 feet ahead. As they approached, the pair of veteran hunters could see that the creature was hunched over, almost on all fours. It was leaning over the body of a dead boar, its throat torn out. The creature's back was towards them, unaware of the two men's approach, body covered in thick, matted fur. At first, they did not think too much about it, as there are many large animals, such as bears and boars, that can be found in the woodlands. But then, the creature stood up. Harlan and Billy exchanged a look of confusion and fear. This was no animal, and it seemed to be a strange mix of human and beast. Billy whispered to his friend, his voice barely audible over the sounds of the swamp, asking Harlan if he knew what the creature could possibly be. Harlan shook his head, unable to find words to describe the creature before them. As they stood there, silently watching in terror, the creature finally lifted its head, its bloody muzzle turning towards them. Harlan's heart pounded in his chest as their eyes locked with the creature's piercing yellow gaze. Time seemed to stand still as a chilling realization washed over them. They were face to face with a monster straight out of a legend, a being whispered about in hushed tones around campfires. Harlan would later describe the creature as covered in a dingy gray hair, with longer hair hanging from its head. He estimated that the creature had to weigh close to 400 pounds and stood almost 7 feet tall.
That's big.
Well, its enormous size and hair was frightening enough, but it was the amber-colored eyes and the horrible stench that reeked from the creature were the two things that stuck in Harlan and Billy's minds from this unbelievable encounter. It was like the amber eyes glowed in the dim light of the swamp, its gaze fixed on the two hunters. They were frozen. They were unable to move or speak as fear coursed through their bodies. The stench emanating from the creature was overwhelming. It was almost a putrid mixture of rotting flesh and wet dog.
Ew.
Only something that neither man or beast could have. It made their stomachs turn and bile rise in their throats.
Ew.
Without warning, the creature let out a guttural growl that echoed through the trees, sending shivers down their spines. Harlan's hand instinctively reached for his gun, but before he could aim, the monster bolted into the dense underbrush with such a surprising speed, disappearing from sight. Billy released a shaky breath, breaking the tense silence that settled over them. He tried to process what they had just witnessed, but he had no idea that what they had encountered, and he was not even sure he wanted to see it again. The two hunters stood there momentarily, their hearts racing and their minds reeling with fear and confusion. Then, Harlan's survival instinct kicked in and he grabbed Billy's arm. Together, they both started back towards their campsite as quickly as they could manage in the thick swamp terrain. A light rain began to pour down on them, adding another layer of difficulty to their already harrowing situation. As they trudged through mud and water, they couldn't help but wonder what other dangers might lurk in the swamp shadows. At that moment, the only thing they could do was think about getting back to safety. They were soaked through and exhausted when they finally reached their campsite. They quickly packed up their gear and headed back towards civilization. And it wasn't until they were safely in their truck that Harlan remembered something important. They had not taken any pictures.
Of course not.
He realized they should have taken photos of the creature to prove its existence and show others what they had encountered. But it was too late now. The afternoon rainstorm had obliterated any evidence of the creature's presence or any tracks. Despite this missed opportunity, Harlan and Billy were grateful to have survived their encounter with whatever that creature was. And it would be a story they would tell for years to come. It was then that Harlan admitted that over a decade earlier, he had seen tracks that he could not identify, but now he realized they must have belonged to this extraordinary creature. As they drove home, they couldn't stop talking about their encounter with the mysterious creature in the swamp. They were still trying to understand what they had seen and smelled, but it seemed impossible. They had heard stories about strange creatures living in the swamps, but only just now believed them. For some reason, none of these stories or sightings ever made it beyond local gossip. The rest of the world remained unaware of this mysterious monster lurking in the swamps of Louisiana.
Dun, dun, dun.
As an investigator, you can dig deeper into these stories and discover that this wasn't something new. Tales go back hundreds of years to the Native Americans who once lived in this area. The Native Americans who lived in this area had folklore stories about a creature called Letic, a meat-eating humanoid beast that lived on land and water.
Hmm. Interesting.
So does that encounter match up with what you've heard before?
For the most part.
Did I miss anything?
No.
Okay. Well, then I will continue on.
Okay.
Chapter 3, Gator Men and Wolf Men.
Okay.
The legend of Letic has been passed down from generation to generation amongst the Native American tribes living in Louisiana swamps. According to the tales, the Letic was once a human child who had been abandoned by his parents deep in the swamp. Left alone to fend for himself, he was eventually adopted and raised by alligators.
Please, woo, go Gators! Well, sorry.
Please remember that a lot of Native American stories are not literal. So it is possible that he was raised by an alligator tribe, either reptile men or other Native American tribes that lived like alligators in the swamps. Regardless, as Letic grew, his appearance became more and more like that of an alligator. His once smooth skin became rough and scaly. His teeth sharpened into a fearsome set of razor-sharp fangs. The boy no longer resembled a human child at all. However, despite his physical transformation, the Letic alligator boy still had the mind and emotions of a human. He longed for companionship and connection with others, but unfortunately, his frightening appearance scared away anyone who came near him. He would often watch from a distance as people ventured into the swamp, hoping for someone to see past his grotesque appearance and befriend him. But time and time again, he was met with fear and rejection. As time passed, Letic became lonely and angry. He started attacking humans in the swamp, using his alligator-like abilities to prey on unsuspecting victims. Stories of a strange human reptile creature lurking in the swamps began to spread amongst the local tribes. As more and more people disappeared or found dead in the swamp, fear of the Letic grew amongst the tribes. They believed he had become corrupted by his isolation and had turned into a vengeful monster.
Huh.
Some even claimed that he has supernatural powers, able to control animals and weather with just a thought. Others say that anyone who crosses paths with him would be cursed for life. This alligator spirit is not the only supernatural creature rumored to be the Honey Island Swamp Monster. With this being Louisiana, we also have to return to the legend of the Rougarou.
Oof, I love him.
Well, we have discussed the legend of the Rougarou in a previous episode as another cryptid that has been passed down through the generations in Louisiana. According to those tales, the Rougarou was a human who was cursed by a witch or a voodoo priestess. The curse turns that person into a monstrous creature, half human, half animal, with superhuman strength and speed. The wolf-like monster is said to roam the swamps at night, hunting for its next victim. But what made this legend even more chilling was that it was believed that anyone who encountered or even saw the Rougarou could also be cursed themselves. They would either become a Rougarou themselves or suffer from strange illnesses and misfortunes for the rest of their lives. As rumors spread of the Honey Island Swamp Monster, some began to speculate that it could be the legendary Rougarou. Perhaps, they thought, Ledick had been cursed by someone in his past and was transformed into this monstrous being. For the majority, most dismissed this idea, arguing that Ledick was an alligator-human hybrid with supernatural powers. But regardless of whether people believe that it's an alligator man or a wolf man, they all feared encountering the creature in the swamp. Tribes living in the area became even more wary of entering the swamps at night. Many started performing rituals and offerings to appease these supposed supernatural beings. Outsiders who come to explore the swamps are often warned about these creatures and told to steer clear of certain parts where they were rumored to reside. Despite all these cautionary tales and superstitions surrounding the Ledick and the Rougarou, there has never been concrete evidence or proof of their existence. Yet, their stories continue to live on as a warning to stay away from the darker, deeper parts of the Louisiana Honey Island Swamp. So,
just stay away from any part of the swamp because they're all dangerous.
You could either be attacked by monkey men, gator men, wolf men.
Or just a regular alligator, a regular
escaped monkey.
Cat. Yeah. You know.
A bear. Even a boar. Well, the story is going to take another turn, Goldie.
Okay.
Chapter 4, Super 8 Film. Harlan Ford continued to search for the monster until his death in 1980. He reported many sightings and even discovered a set of tracks near the corpse of another dead and partially eaten boar. This time, he was prepared and he produced plaster copies of the footprints. In 1974, zoologists from Louisiana State University, LSU, met with Harlan Ford to study the casts of the creature's four-toed footprints. A cryptozoologist from Washington also arrived to inspect the unusual casts. Harlan said that the thing stood at eye level with him, and it startled him most was that its large amber eyes. The hunter was later interviewed with the plaster footprints in a documentary called In Search Of, which still airs periodically on the Discovery Channel and other television streaming services. Unfortunately, a discovery that placed his entire work on the Honey Island Swamp Monster in jeopardy was when a boot was found on the property with a copy of the Swamp Monster's footprint. This made it look like someone was wearing the boot, stepping in the mud, and leaving Honey Island Swamp Monster footprints. Well, this seemed to debunk the entire Honey Island Swamp Monster.
Well, how can it look like that when it's obvious that's what that was?
His granddaughter, Dana Holyfield, was able to offer another interpretation regarding the boot and saying that it was not a hoax. You have to understand that there were many production companies that traveled to the farm to produce documentaries about the Honey Island Swamp Monster. They would talk to her grandfather, and it was more likely that they created the boot in order to duplicate the tracks for reenactment purposes. Since they couldn't actually go out and find the footprints for themselves, these films and documentaries and shows would make their footprints, and they created the boot. Once filming was complete, they most likely discarded the movie prop to the side where it would be discovered later. In fact, the materials utilized for the boot and the footprint were the same resin that is commonly utilized for prop construction in Hollywood. But even more interesting than the boot and the tracks was the discovery of an old Super 8 film reel that Dana's grandmother, Yvonne, found in a box containing all of her grandfather's research journals regarding the swamp monster. This grainy film showed a blurry figure walking through the trees, possibly a large man covered in hair. As she searched further, She found journals written by her grandfather detailing his encounters with what seemed to be this Honey Island swamp monster. Why would he keep this evidence hidden if he created this story just for fame or hunting rights? The discovery leaves many feeling conflicted and unsure of what to believe about Harlan Ford's real intentions.
Interesting.
What is odd? Why would he keep all of these documentations and this film a secret if he was trying to just get fame off of it?
Right.
You would have thought he would share that as soon as possible, but he didn't. The Honey Island Swamp Monster does have a place in modern culture. The popularity has expanded into multiple episodes of popular television shows, such as Lost Tapes, In Search Of, Monsters and Mysteries in America, Swamp People, and even what you watched, Goldie, and which was?
Expedition X.
There you go.
I think it's season 6.
Well, did you know that Eva Mattel introduced a Monster High character doll?
I did not.
Yes. They have a doll named Honey Swamp, who's the daughter of the Honey Island Swamp Monster, and she's a doll, much like Bratz, for children to play with.
I want one.
I figured you would as soon as I said that. So in closing, Goldie Ann, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it just still leaves it all up in the air, because even though she found the journals and the tape, couldn't she have produced those herself?
That is one theory that people are saying is that she or someone is using her to create more hoaxes to keep the story of the Honey Island Swamp Monster alive.
Yeah, along with her grandfather.
Yes. However, to create a Super 8 reel.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Makes, you know, is using a dated material, so it's kind of weird that, but you don't know how far people will go.
True. Wow. That was very interesting, though. Of course, anything in Louisiana swamps interesting.
I figured you would like the story, being from Louisiana yourself. And shrouded in fog and mystery, the swamp lands are a place of beauty and fear. It's a constant source of unease for those who live and work near it, especially at night. Even today, stories of a creature lurking in the murky depths persist, passed around a campfire beneath a full moon sky. Those who have ventured into the swamp have experienced unexplained phenomena, from strange noises and eerie lights to encounters with the monster itself. Some swear by its existence, while others dismiss it as mere superstition.
I think there's a little about, you know, mixed in together. You know, because from fact, any superstition comes from some part of fact.
They say that there's a grain of truth in every letter.
Yeah. Just as hard to determine which is which.
Well, for the truly adventurous, all you would have to do is travel east on I-10, the highway cutting through the heart of Louisiana. And once you've reached the edges of the swamp, then you're on your own to discover for yourself.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Be warned, brave traveler, for you may encounter more than the natural wonders of the swamp. You might come face to face with the creature, and whether it is an alligator man, the Rougarou, or a Sasquatch, it will surely leave you with a story to tell if you make it back out. So go forth, if you dare, and immerse yourself in the ancient Cajun culture and its tales of the unknown. Now, for the sources of today's episode, Dana Holyfield, the granddaughter of renowned Cajun researcher Harlan Ford, carries on his legacy with a collection of books and artifacts that are dedicated not only to the Honey Island Swamp Monster, but also the rich and vibrant Cajun culture that Louisiana calls home. Her compelling documentary intricately weaves together the Super 8 film footage, captivating interviews with locals like Billy Mills, the first person to see the creature with Harlan, and other firsthand accounts from those who have had encounters with the elusive creature. She delves deeper into the mysteries of the swamp and unveils a world filled with ancient customs, eerie legends, and a sense of danger that lurks just beneath the murky surface. All of her books and this documentary are available on Amazon. So, as a reminder before we end this episode, we are active on social media and would be thrilled to hear about your opinions about the Honey Island Swamp Monster. So please, don't hesitate to share your stories and opinions with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Within the Mist Podcast. We are also on Instagram and have an email at withinthemistpodcast@gmail.com for any of you who would like to share your opinions. We hope you enjoyed our story of the Honey Island Swamp Monster. Come back next week for more episodes of cryptids, ghosts, and other mysteries. In the meantime, watch for shadows beyond the cypress trees of the swamps and remain constantly curious. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys.